We just thank you, Father, for who you are, and we thank you for this gift of Jesus that you have given us. And so we just celebrate here today, Lord, and we pray that we can be celebrating every day, Lord, your precious gift, God with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So have you been busy this week? Who has been busy this week? Raise your hands. So what have you been busy with? What else? School. So when you're at school, did you guys have tests this week?
Yeah.
And so what did you have to do for those tests?
Study.
Oh my goodness. So you were busy preparing for tests. And what about parents? What were you busy doing this week?
Backpacking.
Backpacking. Packing gifts, right? No, backpacks for? Okay. What about everybody else? What were you busy doing? Cooking, baking, more than usual? Maybe? Maybe there's a reason sometimes we need to do a little more than usual this week if we're expecting guests, right? So today I'm going to talk a little bit about preparations, since obviously everybody's been preparing. I almost said preparating. That would have been funny. So we love the Christmas song. We love joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room and heaven and nature sing. So what does that mean to prepare him room in our hearts? You guys, we've been doing a lot of preparing this week, whether it be preparing for tests, preparing for guests, preparing for normal things in life. So Luke is saying that one of the things about preparing him room in our hearts is meaning taking time out of our busy lives to make room for God. So Luke, I have my notes. I have the Bible here. Can you just come and finish that? Because you're kind of in the right direction. But I think one of the things that we struggle with when we're preparing, like, I'm actually not that good at preparing things. I mean, I can do it and I can do it well, but it's not something I look forward to, and it's not something I'm often thinking about. My sister, on the other hand, is a great preparer. If you walked into her office in the States and you look, she has a whiteboard the size of her office wall. And on it is lists, very well-written, organized lists of all the things she has to do or for her company, because she's head of quality control. And so all the different things that have to be done by the end of the week, and they're all in different lists. They're color-coded, so they're cross-sectioned, and they're organized from what needs to be done first to what can be done last, so that as she does them, she can take some out, maybe fill some in as different things happen. She's like a preparer. You know, she's planned. But one of the things when you look at that and you think, oh, wow, how does she do that? Because me, I'm just like, oh, no, I get overwhelmed thinking about it, which is not good because we need to prepare. But I look at her and we think, when does she even have time to make that board? If that board is so full of all these things that have to be done, when is she even having time to do that board? What's this? No. My sister does not let somebody else do it because she's actually the one in charge. It's up to her. She's the one who knows what has to be done. She knows the whole picture. She knows the whole picture. So what she does is she actually takes time out of that busy schedule simply to make that schedule. And it's interesting because we would think, oh, but that's wasting time about the schedule. But what does that do is it helps it be more organized. It helps her know when to do what. So there's something about the taking time out of what we normally do so that things can be done. And I think as we talk about this, especially being Christmas and we're preparing room for Jesus in our hearts, symbolically in a way, because he's with us already. We have received the Messiah. But we're remembering this in this time. I think it's good to take note of that. What is the preparation that we really have to do? And is it actually ours? Because Loretta talked about last week a bit of the doldrums, where you're just in this picture of the doldrums, right? Where you're just in this space where you can't really push on with what you know you're trying to do. The boat can't push on with the race because it's caught with no wind. So what do you do in that time? So there's a few things to do, but one of the things I want to talk about is the preparations, the preparing the room. This can be a time of rest, but it can be a time of restructuring, a time of reorganizing those lists. But like I said, what if it's not us that does that? Let's look at the story. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. And in the very beginning of Luke chapter 1, even before we see the angel coming to Mary to tell her, lo and behold, an angel visits a priest named Zechariah and tells him, your wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a son. Now, they were shocked because Elizabeth was of age where she should not be able to have a child. But this would have been something that they longed for. And this story even shows us that Zechariah even doubted because he'd been waiting for so long. And yet the angel of the Lord said this. And sure enough, if we follow through the story, we'll read how, because of Zechariah's doubt, he was actually held mute until the day that they were dedicating, the eighth day of the baby having been born, and they were dedicating at the temple for circumcision. And he declares his name shall be John. Gift of God. Gracious gift of God is the meaning of that. His name shall be John. And everyone is shocked, simply one, because he's got his voice back, but also because the name that he's giving is not one that was expected of him. He was expected to pass on his name. But instead, the name given to John is one that's glorifying God, who is the one who gave the child. Who does John become? And what does that mean, John the Baptist? Recon for God. This is John's job. But is it recon? Because recon, usually you're doing surveillance, right? And gathering information. But actually, John was preparing the way, like you said, and giving information. But even in this, it says, if you look at Luke chapter 1, go all the way to the very last verse, verse 80. And the child grew and became strong in the spirit. And he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. So he had this long time that God was even preparing John for what? To then go forward and say, prepare the way of the coming Messiah. There's this beautiful thing about God having made the preparations. Because let's go back into verse 39, because guess who Elizabeth is? She's Mary's cousin. Family connection, right? So God knows what he's doing. So it says, in these days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Now, I personally can't imagine this, but I'm sure some of you women could. Because I'm sure to say the baby leaped in the womb would be a little more than the normal kind of kicking and strange feelings you have during pregnancy. But the baby leapt instantly when Elizabeth met Mary. Why did baby John leap? It said, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Do you see? Already when we go back, God is already doing some preparation work for the coming of the Messiah. If we work backwards from the time that Jesus arrives on the scene for his ministry, we see that John was already there preparing the way of the Lord. And then if we go further back, we see that when Jesus was conceived, actually John had already been conceived and foretold by the angel to Zechariah and Elizabeth as a preparation for them to know. And then if you look at this time that they spent together, they would have had about, 6 months together, Mary and Elizabeth, where Mary would be following in a way the same path of Elizabeth as an expectant mother. She would be helping Elizabeth, but she'd also be learning. So in a way, she was getting preparation for how to deliver a foretold child. And then if we go back even further, we see all the prophecies that foretell the coming of the Messiah. There's all these preparations. And who did them? Who do you think? I can see a finger and I can hear a couple whispers, but surely we know. Who made these preparations? God made these preparations. Zechariah couldn't make it. In fact, he struggled to believe. Elizabeth couldn't make it. Mary and Joseph couldn't make it. Even the prophets couldn't make it happen. They lived how many hundreds of years before? Only God could make the preparations for that moment to receive. So it makes me wonder about these times when we're in that maybe doldrum space, where it feels like maybe nothing is happening, and we feel like, okay, then we need to use this time wisely to make preparations. There are things we can do. Our normal go-to is actually, what do we do to prepare? For example, if you have guests coming to your house, what are the preparations you make? Clean the house, cook food. What's that? What else do you do? You make sure you're going to be home at the time they arrive. That's pretty good. But I mean, do any of you just not do anything and just hope for the best?
No.
Do you ever feel a little more frantic? Like I said, I'm not a good preparer, so I definitely feel overwhelmed and more frantic. I'm rushing around. I'm cleaning the room. I'm changing the sheets. I'm making sure I have everything I need. I'm actually very stressed, making all the preparations for whoever's coming to come. So when we say prepare him, Jesus, room in our hearts, are we running around trying to make these things happen? David said, David O'Rourke, when he came to speak, he was talking about this prayer closet, taking this time away, making space for God, and being in that presence of him, like John was singing this morning. Just, we want to be in that presence. And we do want to be in that presence, but sometimes we're like, okay, I'll get there, but I have to do this, this, and this. Right? But no, being in the presence, what if this is in that space where that doldrum is? And what if this is actually the space in which we can prepare him room in our hearts? Well, then how do we clean out our house? How do we clean out our hearts? How do we replace the old broken bits? How do we restructure and reorder the plans in our lives? I was having a conversation this last week with someone, and they said they had read that, you know, if you're in churches, oftentimes there's talk of the different spiritual gifts that some people have, where some might really have a strong spiritual gift of faith, and some might have a strong spiritual gift of discernment, and some might have a strong spiritual gift of administration. And we know which ones we are, and we know where we lack, and we know where we excel, but these are gifts from God. They're supernatural. They're beyond our natural ability to do these things. They're gifts from God. You know what I'm talking about, right? So I was talking with my friend about this, and she said she actually read somewhere, a study that some churches did, and they found that people who scored highest on hospitality, I'm very low, by the way. I'm very sorry. But the people who score the highest on hospitality are also the ones who do the least amount of work before guests come to their house. They're the ones who, the toys are out on the floor. That's life. That's kids. I'm focused on the person coming. They're the ones who are like, sure, there's dishes in the sink, but the person is coming. The people who score highest on the spiritual gift of hospitality are not the ones who are able to accomplish everything so the space looks nice, but they're the ones who are receiving the person, regardless of the space. And I think that this is where we should be when we talk about preparing him room in our hearts. Because when Messiah came, when Jesus came, he came as this baby to this wonderful, clean, and sparkling world. Nobody's going to call me out on that? I mean, we read our Bible, don't we? What is the state of the world that Jesus arrives in? Literally stinky if there's going to be animals around, right? But in a bigger sense, it's a broken world. It's a world ravaged by sin, damaged from centuries and centuries of people being lost and hurting each other and those things continuing down. It's a messy place. And God in his grace doesn't say, world, get yourself right to receive your Messiah. But he says, receive your Messiah. And we make room for him in our hearts, which is already a messy place. So maybe as we reflect this year, let's say, okay, I don't want to try to clean my heart. I don't want to try to reorganize my thinking. I don't want to try to buy myself my gifts. I don't want to replace my own old bits. What if our first job is to receive our King and let him come into the room where we are? Take that time away out of our normal. And maybe even let this become our normal, where we're letting him make these preparations in us that he can only do if we take the time to be with him. Because ultimately, it's him who can clean out our dusty, broken corners. It is only him who can heal our wounds, fix the scars on the walls of our hearts. It is only him who can change the cloths and make them clean. It is only him who can give the gifts that actually bring life, not just to us, but to those around us. We can't do any of this ourselves. The only thing that is our job is to prepare the room. And that's not in the way we normally think. It's simply taking that time out and saying, it's not doing nothing and I'm not wasting time and I'm not losing time from all the things that have to be done, but rather I'm experiencing God in the way he wants, letting him do his work in us so that we might be whole. So when he does say go, and when the winds do come in the sails, and when it is time to push forward, we're actually ready for what he has for us. And that's sometimes an ongoing daily process. It's not like there's this long time of waiting and then we go. Sometimes there is, and even as a corporate body, there can be. But sometimes within us, it can be a season in one area of our lives, but it can be a daily thing in other areas of our lives where each day we're being renewed and we're preparing room and he's healing us and restoring us and reorganizing us simply for the things as we go along. And the next day the same, and the next day the same. But our task isn't to do cleaning out the house. It isn't to heal ourselves. It isn't to buy our gifts. It's to simply be okay with letting him do that work. And not necessarily, I'm just going to go on with my life and God, you just fix me how you want. But actually making time to be with him. because I can't sit and stare at that dirty room when I have a guest coming and say, okay, God, I'm going to let, you know, that get clean, so I'm just going to go over here and do stuff, you know? I have to actually physically be present in that room, don't I? So I have to be with God. I have to let God be with me so that these works can be done, so that we're receiving the Messiah every day of our lives. Because ultimately, like how he came into the messy earth, he's in our messy lives every day. We've already received him. So maybe we stop trying to do his job for him and we remember that this year, that this season, even as we talk about Christmas, it isn't about receiving just like presence in this natural way. It's about receiving the presence, being conscious of his presence given to us. Because doesn't the Bible say his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us? It's not even us with God. It's God with us. He's come to us. Can we prepare him room? Does not the Bible say he would make his dwelling amongst his people? So let us, let him live and change us. And let us receive his presence in this time of waiting, in this time of listening, in this time of being attuned, and in this time of receiving. And can we make it a lifestyle so that no matter if we're in a season that's busy or a season that's still, we are constantly receiving from him, constantly preparing him room in our hearts. That's the challenge I want to give for you this Christmas. So Lord, we just pray right now. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your gift of Messiah, who came to set us free from all that we did not deserve to be set free from. Lord, you came as a light into this world. You brought life and you brought hope. And you have given us your Holy Spirit that we can continue day by day to live in your presence. So Lord, I pray that you would help break us of striving, especially in the times when we think we need to do more because we're not seeing things happen. Lord, I pray that you would break us of judgment and you would break us of striving, that we would be able to actually receive what you want for us in that time. That you would do the healing work, Lord, that you would do the administering of the gifts, that you would do the restructuring. But we want to receive it, Lord. And so we just, if you would agree with me, you can even just lift your hands and say, Lord, we want to receive this from you. Because this is about you. And as we give ourselves to you, Lord, we thank you that you've given completely to us. So we receive your grace, Lord, this gracious gift of God. And Lord, I just pray right now a blessing over all of us as we go about this season, Lord, that we would never forget to make room for you, that we would never forget that you are the source of it all, that you are the one in whom we focus, and that you are the one that makes all possible. So Lord, as we prepare room, I pray that you would do that healing work in us, in our spirits, in our souls, and in our bodies, in our families, in our friendships, in our workplaces, Lord. I pray that we would be able to receive fully the gifts you want to give us, and that we'd also be able to receive the training from you, Lord, even in how to use them, how to go about without fear. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us be sensitive and receiving of your restructuring as it is for your glory. And I bless this family in Jesus' name. Amen.